You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hello, men. Welcome back to the podcast. Pastor John here. I'm excited to dig into today's topic with you. I think it's a topic that most Christians could really use some help in. I think it's something we can improve in. I know it's something that I personally had to improve in. I think I have improved in it, but still have a ways to go. And that issue is disagreeing with other Christians about doctrinal distinctives, about secondary issues. So disagreeing on those without division. In other words, how can I still be united in mission? How can I be united in fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ that has a difference of opinion on a secondary issue? So I'm not talking about essential issues. I'm talking about secondary issues. One of the reasons this is so near to my heart, over the last several years, I feel like I've taken some pretty deep dives into secondary issues of the Christian faith because I wanted to make sure that the position I held was because it was what God's Word taught. I wanted to make sure I could defend my position with Scripture, that it wasn't just because of what I grew up hearing at the church I grew up in. It wasn't just because it felt better or was more comfortable, but what did God's Word really teach? And so what kind of doctrinal distinctions am I talking about here? Well, let me give just a few examples. There are dozens we could mention. But for me, some of the ones that I've really dug into is complementary versus egalitarian, Calvinism versus provisionism versus Arminianism, infant baptism. Those are all specific issues that I have really tried to go in and allow the Scriptures to really speak for themselves. And so in addition to doing a lot of Bible study, I've watched and or listened to a lot of debates on those subjects. I've looked at presentations from both sides of the argument on all of those subjects that I just referenced. I didn't want to just listen to one side. And what really jumped out at me in all of those journeys is just how brutal Christians were to one another. Not so much the presenters, not even so much the ones debating, although sometimes they got pretty brutal, but more like the commenters. So if it was a YouTube video of a debate between, say, a Calvinist and Arminian, it was crazy how toxic some of the comments were, how impatient they were, how arrogant they were, and on both sides. I'm not going to lobby on any of those three topics I mentioned. I'm not going to lobby for my perspective on any of those topics. That's not the point of this podcast. So I'm not here to push where I landed on any of those. But I am here to talk about how I think so many of us need to get better at disagreeing. The world sees that, and it doesn't look good. The world sees that and they see all of that disunity, all of that disharmony. They feel like we can't get along. They see us attacking one another. And I don't think it brings glory to God. Now, one of the reasons this is so hard is we would probably all draw a different boundary on which issues are worth dividing for. The way I look at different issues, I look at four categories. I think there are some things that are to die for. Others are to divide for, others are to debate, and then still others are just to discuss. Now, I think there are only one or two issues to die for. In other words, if someone told me I had to denounce Jesus Christ, then hopefully I've got the courage to say, you know, you better swing the sword or you better pull the trigger or whatever else the threat is. Like, I'm not going to denounce Jesus Christ, or at least I certainly hope and pray with the Holy Spirit giving me strength that I would never do that. But then I think there are issues to divide for. And when I say divide, I don't mean, you know, going to a different local church because of a doctrinal distinctive. I think I can choose to go to a church, you know, based on a secondary doctrinal distinctive or based on a style of worship or even based on the pastoral team there and still be united in mission and fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ who attend a different local church. In fact, I hope that's the case for you. I hope that you are united with other Christians in your local community, not just those who attend the same local fellowship that you do. But when I say I think there are issues worth dividing over, I'm talking about breaking fellowship with someone who claims to be a believer, but holds a position on something that is contrary to Scripture. So, for example, one of those would be a church that endorses same-sex marriage. And I'm not trying to single that out because it's worse than other sins. It's not. But it is something that happens a lot in our culture where a church will cave in to the pressure of society. They don't take God's word at face value. That's a church that if someone attends that church and endorses that, I'm going to divide. I'm not going to be in fellowship with that individual. Then I think there's another layer that we debate. And so, for example, the issue between being complementary or egalitarian, that's something I'm going to debate. I'm not going to divide with someone over that. I can still be united in fellowship with someone who has the opposite view of mine. But I think the Bible is clear enough on that one, again, in my opinion, that I'm going to be willing to debate that. I want them to take my position. I want them to see it the way I see it. And then there are issues that I'm just going to discuss. Those are issues that I have an opinion on, but to be quite honest, I hold it loosely. I'm not 100% convinced of my position. And so it's just something I want to discuss with others. I want to hear their ideas. I want to hear their perspective on why they hold the opinion that they have. The rub is you and I probably don't draw the same line at the same place. So there are probably issues that you would say, no, I'm willing to divide over that. That's not just a debate or discuss topic for me. And I understand that. And I would just say, please be led by the Holy Spirit in that. But I think we can err on the side of dividing too quickly. You know, in John 17, verse 21 through 23, Jesus was praying for the original disciples, but also for the future disciples, us. And he said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Jesus wanted us to be united in mission and united in fellowship. John 13, 35, Jesus said, your love for one another, he's talking to believers, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The world is always watching. And if you and I can't treat one another with respect, if we can't really listen to one another on these secondary issues, on some of these doctrinal distinctives, it does not bring glory to God. And so I think we can swing too far both directions. I think one error would be to make everything a divide for issue. If you make every single issue a hill to die on, that is going to lead to a lot of division. You're going to find such a small group of like-minded Christians that I think you're going to have a very narrow experience in your Christian faith. And you might say, well, that's what I want, John. You know, narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. I don't think that's exactly what that passage means. I think there is definitely some room for differences of opinion within the church on secondary issues. Now, I don't think, though, the right attitude is, well, it doesn't matter. It'll all sort out in the end. That's not what I'm saying. It does matter. In all of these issues, someone is right and someone is wrong, right? Either the complementarian view is right or the egalitarian view is right. They're not both right. One of them is right, one of them is wrong. Either the Calvinistic view is right or the Arminian view is right or the provisionist view is right. One of those is correct. And by definition, the others are not. So truth does matter. I think we should seek out truth. And I think in any of these issues, you and I should not be lazy. We should be willing to do the work, to put in the effort, to really search the scriptures to come to our conclusion. Now, does that mean we're going to be right? I think we still have to hold on to the possibility maybe the other side is right. Like I can defend my position. I have this position for a reason. I've done the research. I've prayed over it. And I think this is the correct position. But I think on secondary issues, we have to hold out at least a little bit of a possibility that maybe we're not correct. Here's why, though, I think truth matters. Let me just give you a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth. In other words, purchase it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Truth matters. I confess that earlier in my Christian walk, there were some issues, particularly some eschatological issues, that I didn't have a position on. And my attitude was, it doesn't really matter. You know, I'm going to find out in the end which one's correct. And honestly, looking back now, that's just lazy. That's just a lazy attitude of me not wanting to spend the time and really look into what God's word says. I mean, there's a lot in the Bible about the end times. God put it in there for a reason. So let's not be lazy. Let's be diligent, but let's not make every mountain out of a molehill. So here's the first point I want to ask. When you're having these discussions, are you listening? Are you really seeking to listen to someone who has the other position, or are you just preparing your rebuttal the whole time? Do you find yourself interrupting them or dismissing their comments before they're even finished? You know, I remember I watched not really a debate, I guess you'd call it a forum. It was called An Evening of Eschatology, and John Piper hosted it, and there was a premillennial view, postmillennial, and amillennial. Now, I hold a premillennial view, so I'll just share what my position is on that. Hopefully, if you hold one of the other two views, you don't just automatically quit listening. If so, listen to this podcast, because that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. But even though I was in line theologically with the premillennial view, the guy was so impatient in the debate or in the forum, whatever you'd want to call it. He kept interrupting the other two speakers. He got heated. He got frustrated. And I was so turned off by that. I remember telling myself, you know, if I wasn't pretty locked in on this view before I watched this, it would change my mind. Because I would wonder, why are you so rattled? Why are you getting so heated? Don't you have enough confidence in your position based on Scripture that you can allow these other men to speak? So are you really listening? Let me read an example from Scripture where I think the believers did a good job of this. And this is actually on what I would call a primary issue, not a secondary issue. And this is the council in Jerusalem in Acts 15, where the Judaizers had insisted that Gentiles needed to be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. It says, when they arrived in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul were welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and elders. They reported everything God had done through them. But then some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted the Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow the law of Moses. So the apostles and elders met together to resolve this issue. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as follows. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. He continues on, verse 12, this is the important part. Everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul told about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. Everyone listened quietly. That means even the Judaizers, to their credit, even though they were clearly wrong about trying to make the Gentiles follow the law of Moses and be circumcised, when Barnabas and Paul stood up and started to give evidence for what God had done through them, it says that they listened quietly. That's super instructive for us. Let me read a couple of Proverbs that reinforce this. Proverbs 18:13. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Proverbs 18:2, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Lastly, Proverbs 18:15, intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open for knowledge. Now, look, I know some of you probably right now are saying, yeah, my ears are open for knowledge, John, but they are wrong. They've got the wrong perspective, so they're not sharing knowledge. What they're sharing is incorrect. Even if they are wrong, it would be helpful to understand why they came to the conclusion that they got to, because that might help you. Maybe they are wrong. Maybe there is a fallacy in the way they got to their conclusion, but if you don't really listen to them, if you don't really try to understand where they're coming from, then you're likely not going to help them see that. So the next time you find yourself in a conversation about doctrinal distinctives or secondary issues, really try to listen to the person who's on the other side of the argument. Try to understand where they're coming from. I'm not asking you to agree with them. If you hold your position, I hope and pray you hold it for a reason. You hold it because you think you can defend it with Scripture. But really listen to them. And who knows, maybe they're going to bring up another passage or another verse that does cause you to question your position. Or maybe you're going to be able to help them see the error in their ways of where they're coming from. So really listen to one another. The next thing that I would encourage you to do is ask yourself, what are the dangers if I am wrong? So if I've got the wrong perspective here, how could that be dangerous to me in my walk? So for clarity, here's what I mean by, have you taken an honest look at the dangers of being wrong? Let me just walk through some of these secondary issues I've already mentioned. And regardless of which side of the topic you're on, again, I'm not trying to convince you to take one side or the other. And I'm not saying that just because you take a certain position, you're automatically going to do these things that I'm mentioning. But I am just saying, be aware of the danger. Be aware that it could happen. Be aware that sometimes it does happen. So for example, in the discussion between being complementarian or egalitarian, what would be the dangers of being complementarian? Well, you could be missing out on great teachers. If you have women in your congregation and you don't feel like they should teach and have authority over men, and you don't allow them to teach in an authoritative manner, then you could be missing out on some great teaching. You could be missing out on not empowering women to fulfill the callings that God has put on their life or exercise their giftings. Now, if you are complementarian, I know you're already arguing against that. I am complementarian, and I hear you, but we just have to be honest. If we are wrong, what are the dangers of being wrong on this? Okay, conversely, the other side, if you're egalitarian, what if you're wrong? Well, then the health of the church is being compromised because roles are blurred. Men are not being challenged to step up and lead as regularly in an egalitarian church because there are women who will step in and fill that need. Again, I'm not saying that there aren't egalitarian churches where men lead well. I'm just saying that's a potential danger. What about Calvinism versus Arminianism? Well, a danger of Calvinism is you don't seek excellence in ministry because God's going to save whoever he's going to save regardless of me. Now, again, I'm not saying that's the attitude every Calvinist has. I know that's not. I'm just saying it's a potential danger. Evangelism may take a back seat for the same reasons. God has already predestined and pre-elected everyone that's going to be saved, and so I'm going to focus more on building up the flock. I think both things need to happen, by the way, but again, that's just a potential danger. What about the other side? What if you're an Arminian? What would be the dangers? Well, you might become too seeker sensitive. I think it's clear that there are churches who have become too seeker sensitive because they take too much responsibility and too much credit for God's work. So they feel like the environment has to be just perfect. They feel like they can't really call out sin in a negative way sometimes. Again, I'm not accusing every church who takes the Arminian view that that's what they do. I'm just saying it's a potential danger. Another potential danger is they're always chasing the next big idea. They're incorporating a lot of secular strategies for church ministry. Those are potential dangers if you're wrong. What about eschatology? You know, the particular eschatological view that I hold is that Jesus is not going to come back until the Antichrist has established himself in the temple and demanded worship. So if I'm wrong, one of the dangers is not living with the sense of urgency that Jesus could come at any moment. And there are definitely passages that talk about him being able to come at any moment. Revelation 16, 15, Jesus says, "Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief, and blessed are all who are watching me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed." So again, although I hold the view that the temple has to be reestablished and the Antichrist is going to set himself up for worship, I don't walk around thinking, well, I got plenty of time until Jesus comes again. I want to be ready. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back, but that's a potential danger. Or annihilationism. One of the dangers of annihilationism is you lack a sense of urgency because people who die without Jesus, their punishment isn't eternal. You know, their soul is annihilated. Again, in all of those issues, guys, I hope you hear my heart. I'm not trying to push a specific position on you today. I have positions on each one of those that I think I can defend biblically. I really just want you to be able to do the same, and I want you to take an honest look at what would be the consequences if you were wrong. What are some things you need to be aware of? Another thing that I would encourage you to think about to see if you're an individual who can handle disagreement without division is, would you call yourself a one-trick pony? What I mean by that is, do you find yourself wanting to talk about a single issue? So no matter what passage you're studying, no matter what the context of the conversation is, do you find yourself wanting to highlight your position on one of these issues? So no matter the passage, do you find yourself promoting Calvinism, for example? Or no matter what the passage, do you find yourself trying to look for evidence for an egalitarian perspective? You know, I've known several men over my life that definitely got sucked into that trap, that they just kept beating the same drum over and over and over again. Now, I'm all for beating the same drum, but that drum should be Jesus Christ. That drum should be, man, you're broken, you're a sinner, you deserve eternal punishment, but God loves you so much that he sent his son and he died on the cross, and on the cross he paid the penalty that you should have paid. And if you put your trust in him and if you repent of your sins and turn to him, he'll forgive you. If that's your one-trick pony, then God bless you, but if you're getting sucked in to where the only thing you want to talk about are these secondary issues, that's not healthy. You know, there are some teachers on YouTube, and I respect them in the sense I think they're godly men. I think they're trying to honor God, but man, they've gotten sucked into this situation where they only talk about one thing. They only promote one doctrinal distinctive, and literally they talk about it. You know, if they do 100 YouTube videos, It's the focus of 99 of them, and I just don't think that is healthy for us. I think if we're going to have a one-trick pony, again, that needs to be Jesus Christ. And so I guess I would wrap up with this, guys. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul says, "For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified." I'm not saying that these doctrinal distinctives don't matter. They do matter. I'm not saying that it'll all just work out in the end, and so it doesn't matter which side you take. Again, I don't agree with that at all. I think truth matters to God. I think we just have to be honest and say, well, look, one side is right and one side is wrong on some of these doctrinal distinctives, and we do the best that we can looking at God's word, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us to help us determine which side of some of these secondary issues we're on. But then as we're talking with believers in Christ, we really seek to hear them, and we recognize that we can disagree but not divide. We can still be united in mission. We can still be united in fellowship. And think of what that's going to look like to the world. I mean, just look at the political climate in our country right now. And I'm not, you know, I know it's not comparing apples to apples because certainly not everyone in our nation is a believer, but I mean, we can't have political discourse in this country. I mean, it's almost impossible. Rarely can you see two individuals who are on opposite sides of the political aisle talk to one another with respect. And I would hate for the church to start to look like that. I would hate for brothers and sisters in Christ to not be able to have disagreements on some of these secondary issues and yet still be united in mission, united in fellowship, united in love, because we're family. We've all been adopted into God's family. We're going to get to spend eternity together. We get to partner with one another to help build the kingdom. God doesn't need us to do that, but for whatever reason, that's how God loves to work. He loves to work through his broken people. So let's keep the main thing this week. And if you do get into some conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ about some of these secondary issues, I hope that when the conversation is finished, whether you end up agreeing or not, you can walk away united.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.